Moncrief on News Talk.
Just when you think things couldn't get any worse in Gaza, they do. Despite widespread international criticism, Benjamin Netanyahu seems determined to press ahead with his plan to occupy Gaza City, while, as you've been hearing on the news bulletins, is unapologetic about the killing of a group of Al Jazeera journalists. So what, if anything, can other countries do about this? The Occupied Territories Bill is winding its way through the Oireachtas, but it is limited in scope. And John O'Brien from Maynooth University is one of those who believe that it doesn't go far enough. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
So what would you like to see happen as an alternative to the Occupied Territories Bill?
Well, I first made the argument for this kind of approach last autumn, and I think you would agree that the situation is now vastly worse than it was then. The Israeli Defense Forces have been wholly consciously corralling and starving 2 million people in Gaza. And I think what that means is that the intention behind the Occupied Territories Bill just does not match proportionately the situation on the ground in Gaza. It's so much more serious now that I think it warrants a revision of the bill. And I think we should be going for a complete trade embargo against Israel. You have to ask yourself, if this is designed to change the behavior of the Israeli state, how do you do that? And I think the way you do it is through trade, because Israel has real dependency on the European Union. It sends about 30% of its exports to the EU, whereas in return, the EU sends only 0.8%. So I'm arguing that collectively, the EU should use that leverage. I'm a realist. I understand that's not going to happen. But I think it would be much better for Ireland reputationally if we were to take the lead by opting for a full trade embargo rather than the very, very limited impact that the Occupied Territories Bill might have.
Yeah. Now, and you're aware of this too, there would be technical legal difficulties with that, in that the argument has been traditionally that international trade is really under the competence of the EU, and therefore we're not allowed to do that to bring about a full trade embargo.
Yeah, I think this has certainly been the subtext of a lot of government arguments justifying the really slow approach to the passage of the Occupied Territories Bill over the last year or so. Now, I'm saying they're wrong. Now, yes, this would create a confrontation with the EU, because it is the European Commission that has the responsibility to manage trade on behalf of the 27 member states. However, this isn't at all unusual, a conflict between the member states and the European Union. In fact, Ireland has been brought to court many, many times before by the European Commission. So there is a process there. There is something which is called an infringement proceeding. The Commission would say to us, you can't do this, you're in violation of your obligations. And I'm saying that Dublin should say, no, we don't think we are. And what we want is to see a judicial determination of the meaning of Article 2, which is the human rights clause of the EU-Israel Trade and Association Agreement. That would be the ultimate aim, Sean, to get the court to test the meaning of the language of Article 2.
Yeah. Now, explain what is an association agreement. And it seems to be that the EU has many such agreements with countries outside the bloc.
Yeah, the EU has different kinds of agreements for different countries and for groups of countries. The association agreements go back to the post-World War II era. The first one was with the United Kingdom when it didn't join the original EEC, and then with Greece in 1961 and another with Turkey in 63. Now, they can encompass different things, but the one that the EU signed with Israel a quarter of a century ago places Israel in a band of Mediterranean countries that are part of what's called European neighborhood policy. So there is a more intense relationship, you could say, between the EU and this band of countries that are all geographically kind of proximate to the EU, to EU territory, than with a mere free trade agreement. It's more important important than that. But of course, you don't have anything like the intensity of the harmonization of policies that you get inside the 27-nation EU. Still, there's a lot of cooperation. It's not just about trade. Israel, for example, has been part of EU higher education and research policy for a long time. And one of the proposals in recent weeks was that that would be suspended. Even that, by the way, wasn't enough for Germany and the Czech Republic and other states that blocked that attempt to do that within the Council. So it's part of a block of countries that are close to the EU. So it's more important than, say, the free trade agreement that we might have between the European Union and Australia.
Yeah. Now, and you did refer to Article 2. I just want to read out what that says to make that clear for people. It says relations between the parties, as well as all the provisions of the agreement itself, shall be based on human rights and democratic principles, which guides their internal and international policy and constitute an essential element of this agreement. So I'm assuming what you're saying there is that Israel has violated this particular clause, and therefore that legally justifies a full trade embargo, not just from Ireland, but from the entire European Union.
Exactly. Israel is in serial and egregious violation of Article 2. It has been from a very early stage in the war against Gaza in late 2023. You remember that in early 2024, Spain and Ireland asked for a review of the association agreement. The simple fact is it went nowhere because the European Commission, headed by Ursula von der Leyen, didn't want to do anything about this. And key member states such as Germany also had no mind, and still appears, despite the rhetoric changing in recent weeks, are still not minded to put in place a really substantial material sanction against Israel. My argument is that the court should be the ultimate arbiter. And if we look at the European Union itself, Sean, it has its own Article 2, the Treaty of the European Union. Now, this is very different to an association agreement, but the key thing is that Article 2 contains similar language about human rights and pluralism and democracy. And it's been tested over and over again in the Court of Justice over the last 10 years, especially in relation to Hungary. And the court has ruled again and again that this language in Article 2 is not just there for window dressing. It has real meaning and there are real obligations that flow from it for the member states. I'm arguing it should be exactly the same here for Article 2 and for Israel, but we need to see it tested in court.
Mm. Now, even if it is tested in court and the result went, if the Irish, and these are loads of very conditional statements, if the Irish government was prepared to do that and the agreement went their way, it would still realistically mean that just Ireland would bring about a full trade embargo, perhaps Spain, but not that many other European countries.
If we get to court, what the Court of Justice would be doing is testing Article 2 on behalf of the entire European Union. So at that point, the member states would have no other option but to put in place a full trade embargo against Israel. That's why this is important. And it doesn't matter that Ireland is such a small member state. Some people would argue peripheral and insignificant. If only one state does what I'm proposing we do, we could end up in a situation where it changes the entire policy of the European Union.
How long would all that take?
It could take a couple of years. The process within the European Court is often slow, but in some circumstances, we can see expedited cases. And I think given the seriousness of this, the fact that we are seeing a Bloody Sunday being committed by Israeli forces every 2 days out of the week, I think that really means that there's every case for doing this, and there's such an urgency behind it because of the scale of the slaughter. Some reports suggest that up to 200,000 Palestinians may have lost their lives, maybe 12% of the entire pre-2023 population of Gaza. That is astonishing. And if that isn't urgent, I don't know what else is.
Yeah, I suppose you did mention Ireland's reputation, and I suppose in some quarters it's been enhanced by how outspoken it's been in others, but and particularly that relationship with the United States, this would even further damage it.
Yes, and there are very respected commentators like Dan O'Brien, for example, who've been arguing in recent weeks that not only should we not do what I'm proposing, we shouldn't even pass the Occupied Territories Bill as limited as it is in scope. I think he's entirely wrong. I think it would be morally repugnant for us to put our economic interests before the absolute priority that I think tackling this genocide actually requires us to be. I think actually most Irish people would be prepared to be a bit poorer if we could actually succeed in effecting change. In the same way, you could argue that the Dun Stores women, when they went on strike in the 1980s, they had no hope of changing the system in South Africa. But it did change within a few years because of all of the pressure, like those groups of women that so bravely stood up against South Africa at that time.
Mm, but it would seem, and not to be defeatist about this, but it seems as if nothing's going to change there. Certainly nothing's going to change in the Israeli government's attitude until the United States tells them to.
I agree, absolutely. The United States is absolutely central to this. And even the policy change that Netanyahu announced yesterday, he couldn't possibly do it without having the consent of the White House. So that is an issue. And that's an issue that I think we have to tackle through our diplomacy. But I don't think it's an argument for doing nothing. I think what Dan O'Brien and others are saying is that there are people within Congress and people like Mr. Besong within Trump's administration that have it in for Ireland. And this would, because we'd be raising our heads above the parapet and getting lots of international attention, it could be damaging for us. But I can't see how that could happen, Sean, because if they try to put sanctions individually on Ireland, that would have to be collectively tackled by the European Union. And secondly, if it's about putting pressure on multinationals to potentially pull out of Ireland, well, they're not going to do that because they take long-term decisions. And I think, like so many other people, they're just trying to weather the Trump storm for the moment. I don't see any particular danger there. But in any case, if there is some kind of price to be paid, I think most Irish people would be willing to pay it if it meant an end to the slaughter that we are seeing on our screens day after day after day.
John, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was John O'Brien, Professor of European Politics at Maynooth University. A few comments on some of the things John's been saying. One Texas says, if you can barely get the Occupied Territories Bill through the Oireachtas, I can't see this having any chance of getting through, surely. Yeah, perhaps, perhaps not. Obviously, there's been a degree of squeamishness about it. And there is a worry, not just, I think, in government, but there's a worry around the country as to what economic effect this might have. It's mad, says another texter, like even the Western nations just stop funding weapons. That would be something, but they're not even prepared to do that. Well, as you probably know, Germany has decided not to provide any more weapons to Israel because of what's happening. And so, you know, up until now, Germany has been the most steadfast supporter of Israel, certainly in the European context. Anne says, please ask your guest, if the government won't enact penalties against Israel, is there anything that individuals could do? I suppose all you could do is you know, there are goods and services provided by Israel, and you could perhaps be a bit mindful of avoiding them, or, you know, that might involve doing a bit of homework to find out where those goods and services come from, but that's one thing. Have people lost their minds or something, says another texter. How are the other European countries not yet taking action against Israel? It feels like we're living in some bizarre parallel universe where bad is good. Yeah, it is a curious one, and you're not the first person to point that out, that why aren't more countries more or less in lockstep with where Ireland is and Spain is and a handful of European countries on this issue. I don't know the reason for that, other than perhaps a timidity, not because of Israel, but because of the United States. Because as John O'Brien just said there, the Netanyahu's decision to go in over and go into Gaza City, that decision probably wasn't taken without getting the green light from Trump. So perhaps that's what that's all about. There should be a referendum on the Occupied Territories Bill, says this texter. Not everyone supports Israel, but equally not everyone supports Hamas. Yeah, I would say that probably precious few people in Ireland would support Hamas. And it's not an either or. I think it's whether you're for or against genocide is really the key question there, rather than whether you support Hamas or not. But how many of our trading partners, says this texter, actually fulfill that human rights requirement? Who could we trade with by that metric? Australia, Norway and New Zealand, Canada maybe? That's true. Probably all countries to some extent or another fall down on the human rights scale. But when you're seeing something that's so obvious and so egregious, you can't kind of ignore that on the basis that, well, you know, there's been, you know, Canada has been a bit dodgy in certain respects. Somebody else says Israel has been in serious breach of Article 2 since it's founded in 1948. They've been facilitating the expansion of illegal settlements the entire time before October the 7th. Well, indeed, that is true. It seems to have speeded up since October the 7th. What is going on in Palestine is abhorrent, says this texter, and without question, genocide. But I don't believe that Ireland going it alone with the bill will help the situation. In fact, it will make allies shy away from us. And we also run the real risk of being punished by the US. It feels like a David and Goliath situation with no possibility we would win the moral argument, says this texter. Well, as you heard, John's argument is, isn't that just we would bring about a trade embargo by ourselves, but that we would be challenged by the EU about our reasons for doing that. And if we won that case in court, that would you know, change the equation there, to at least to the extent where, well, actually everybody has to bring about a trade embargo on Israel because Israel is violating that Article 2 that he was talking about. But, you know, as we all know, they're all hypotheticals.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.